good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. My name is, I'm your host, Wakunjahade, and my name is Distant Thunder. And we talk about Native issues and human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And we discuss national and local news and events.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You don't have to live in the Twin Cities or Minnesota to call them.
Yeah, call them. They give you information. They yep. love to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Hey, my first day back to school with students since March.
Wow.
March, I think, 20th.
How did that last year?
Yeah.
Wow. How did that feel?
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, you are exhausted. You had to come home and take a little nappy.
Well, I do that anyways because that's the way I do it. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, and so it was great to see the students, mm-hmm. teachers. We're all wearing masks yep. and being respectful.
Fully vaccinated.
That's right.
Yep, so that's a good thing.
That's right. We got the trial, and then also with the unrest, St. Paul and Minneapolis no longer under curfew, but Brooklyn Center still is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So before we get to Ogama, we have Winona LaDuke on today, and also Bob Blake from Red Lake, I like to say that, with Solar Bear and the Solar Bear News. So this is just a hopping day. And before, let's get to Ogama here before I start passing out from exhaustion and teaching. Welcome, Ogama and Pinigigi, for all you do with the news.
Hi, Animbuju, everybody. So this will be the fourth night, most likely, of protests and grieving as the Twin Cities is grappling with another police killing. On Sunday, we all know former Brooklyn Center police officer Kimberly Potter shot Dante Wright Sr. during a traffic stop. Potter resigned her position on Tuesday and is now in custody facing a second-degree manslaughter charge. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension said its agents took former Brooklyn Center officer Kim Potter into custody at about 11 a.m. today. She was booked into the Hennepin County Jail shortly after noon, and her first court appearance is scheduled for 1:30 p.m. on Thursday. Potter was not immediately detained or arrested for the murder, but was instead put on paid leave before she resigned. Despite her resignation from the Brooklyn Center Police Force and her criminal charges, she will remain eligible for her pension with the department. Under state law, being charged or convicted of a crime doesn't affect a public employee's eligibility for retirement benefits as early as age 50. Former officer Potter is 48 and worked as a police officer for 26 years and is maintaining that she mistook her gun for a taser and that the shooting was accidental. Grieving and rightfully outraged residents are facing their fourth night of curfews, tear gas, rubber bullets, and armed police and state agency forces. Everyone from the National Guard and the DNR and the State Patrol have been dispatched to the Twin Cities at some point during the past few days. The big news, as Robert said, is that there will not be a curfew in Minneapolis tonight, April 14th. However, they do ask that you leave 911 open for emergencies. You can call 612-673-5335 if you have any tips or suspicious activity in Minneapolis that does not require an immediate response. Brooklyn Park will be in another curfew starting tonight at 10 p.m. and running through 6 a.m. tomorrow. Champlin also announced a curfew beginning at 9 p.m. tonight. As far as curfews go, mayors and local governments can impose their own curfews on the city level if they choose. So make sure to check your local city's page or community information or community page for more information if there's a curfew in your area. The Minnesota Operation Safety Net says 79 people were arrested Tuesday night following the protests in Brooklyn Center. Minnesota State Patrol made 73 arrests, and the Minneapolis Police Department made 5 arrests, and the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office made 1 arrest. arrest. The Operation Safety Net page says the charges varied, but included things like inciting a riot and unlawful assembly. If you have taken to the streets to exercise your right as a citizen and need a ride out of the protest, you can call 612-234-2269. Safe drivers are available. This is going to be a permanent support number for riders who need assistance, as we, expect that there may be more unrest going forward. This information came from the South Minneapolis Mutual Aid Autonomous Zone Coordination page. The family of Dante Wright has requested that they do not need any more donations at this time. However, the AIM Patrol, who has been known to protect Franklin Avenue, is requesting donations of wood, hand warmers, and fire extinguishers. If you have any of those donations to bring, you can bring them to Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. As far as legislative changes go, following the death of Dante Wright by murder, Governor Tim Walz has asked Republicans who control the Minnesota Senate right now to hold hearings on police accountability. However, on Tuesday afternoon, the Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka, who is a Republican from East Gull Lake, has announced that there will only be hearings aimed at fact-finding rather than approving any specific bills. Gazelka told reporters, "I'm not promising that we're going to do more reform. He's promising to listen to see if something is warranted." Gazelka also said that Minnesotans don't want to defund police but want the bad apples picked out. He says Wright's killing was an unjustifiable tragedy, but also said people should be as respectful as possible when pulled over to avoid confrontation. Meanwhile, the DFLers have a long list of police reform proposals. They include enacting new regulations for crowd control, restricting no-knock warrants, and banning officers from affiliating and/or supporting white supremacist groups or ideologies. Before the news conference with the GOP on Tuesday, the Black and People of Color and Indigenous Lawmakers group had pushed again for new police accountability measures in a remote video call. State Representative Cedric Frazier, who is from New Hope and is a DFLer, and his vice chairman of the House Public Safety and Criminal Justice Reform Finance and Policy Committee, said that last year's legislative bills were watered down by the GOP, and he has urged lawmakers to take another look at making use of force standards tougher. I really think that those things are needed right now in our country as a whole, not just in Minneapolis. Meanwhile, earlier this week, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who is the director of the CDC, announced that racism is a serious public health threat, which I think a lot of us already knew. In a statement last week, she said, "What we know is this: racism is a serious public health threat that directly affects the well-being of millions of Americans. As a result, it affects the health of our entire nation." Health experts say the simplest explanation for decades-long documentation of inequity in healthcare systems are also the correct ones. Many families in communities of color are in lower income brackets and may live in crowded conditions or multi-generational situations. COVID-19 pandemic has really exacerbated these conditions, not only in the BIPOC community, but also in communities where people live below the poverty line. Walensky also said racism is not just the discrimination against one group based on the color of their skin or their race or ethnicity, but the structural barriers that impact racial and ethnic groups differently to influence where a person lives, where they work, where their children play, and where they worship and gather in their community. These social determinants of health have lifelong negative effects on the mental and physical health of individuals in communities of color. So I wanted to end that with that today, that this is an important thing that we need to address wholeheartedly as a country right now.
Hey, great. Pini Gigi Ogama for the news. Up next, Winona LaDuke. We had a little recording of Winona, and we're going to play it. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Mawi, ma pes, ne inkaya tuaeni, ni mawi, ma pes, ne inkaya tuaeni.
Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The University of Minnesota Duluth Department of American Indian Studies is accepting applications for the Master of Tribal Resource and Environmental Stewardship. With this degree, you'll develop the skills to help tribal governments manage natural resources and navigate the legal, cultural, and political contours of tribal sovereignty. And you can take all the courses online. To apply for the Fall 2021 Masters of Tribal Resources and Environmental Stewardship at Minnesota Duluth, visit umdmtrees.org. That's umdmtrees.org.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You don't have to live in the Twin Cities or Minnesota to call them.
They love when you call. Hey, we got a quick little update from Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth. Why don't we take a listen to Winona LaDuke?
Anin, it's Winona LaDuke with a water protector report. On March 23rd, the people of Minnesota had a day in court with Enbridge, as the Department of Commerce and the Red Lake and White Earth Anishinaabe, along with citizens groups, asked the Minnesota Court of Appeals to stop Enbridge. That decision is due out in June. On April 1st, the company sent home about 3,000 workers due to road restrictions. Although the company has told the media the pipe is almost 50% complete, that's far from true. There are 22 rivers which Enbridge must cross, and those rivers do not belong to Enbridge. As the company takes a pause from its destruction, let's take a quick inventory of their progress and legal challenges to state, tribal, and county governments. Let's inventory what they've done. They have indeed crossed a lot of territory and laid a lot of pipe. Enbridge has promoted its good relations with Native people and cultural awareness, despite the fact that no tribe really wants a tar sands pipeline from the Athabascan region to the shores of Superior and Lake Huron. As far as jobs, Enbridge promised that 50% of the jobs would be from Minnesota, but the Star Tribune reports that at the end of December, the first full month of construction, just 33% of the 4,664 workers building the replacement for Enbridge's Line 3 were Minnesota residents. Minnesota workers provided only 28% of the labor for the project. Most of those jobs have been in logging and in security. And in the end, Enbridge will be providing about 23 jobs over the long term, according to the company. 23 jobs. Arrests. Well, about 250 people have been arrested thus far, many charged. Most of them charged with trespassing, and many of them subjected to unnecessary strip searches and held in jails in the north. These are Minnesota citizens, citizens of states like Massachusetts, old and young, and they're all opposing this pipeline. Essentially, a Canadian multinational is financing the repression of Minnesotans and water protectors through the Minnesota police. According to a recent story in the Minnesota Post, Enbridge has reimbursed over $500,000 of police expenses for Line 3 expenditures. As an example, the Beltrami County Sheriff's Office has requested $189,000 from a public safety escrow account established by Enbridge. Ironically, there is no Line 3 pipeline construction in Beltrami County, but the county has elected to incur expenses serving the Enbridge project needs and adding to the county coffers. Experts in policing question the arrangement. Kevin Karpiak, an Eastern Michigan University professor, said that he hadn't heard of an agreement like the public safety account before. For Karpiak, the public safety account raises questions about the broader role of authority of law enforcement and who the police work for and whose interests they represent or whose interests they claim to represent. Let's talk about sex and pipelines. Enbridge has represented that it is addressing the sex trafficking and missing and murdered Indigenous women issues and impacts that have come from their projects and other fossil fuel projects. Indeed, the company has become a major patron of Native organizations working on these issues. Nonetheless, in February of 2021, two Precision Pipeline contractors were charged in a sex trafficking bust. One was from Missouri and the other was from Texas. Is Enbridge really a good neighbor? This is a question. Minnesota businesses have certainly received business from Enbridge, and the company has been busy spreading money throughout the North through municipalities and charities, usually with an agreement that the recipients state support for Enbridge. Having provided food, shelf, and emergency service support, Enbridge has been courting communities faced with ongoing crises. What's interesting is that the company has had a major presence in northern Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan for decades, but has never shared this generosity and largesse before the battle on Line 3. Never really showed it. So take the town of Clearbrook, Minnesota, for instance. That's where the Good Samaritan Nursing Home closed down in 2018, lacking the resources to continue. Meantime, Enbridge, which has a tank factory there, or a tank farm there, is in the same town and stood aside as 50 people lost their jobs and 100 residents had to find new homes. Enbridge employed 15 people. It seems that Enbridge's corporate giving is really tied to pipeline favors and not to necessarily being a good neighbor. Then there's the tax returns to Canada problem. Canadian Enbridge will receive over $55 million back from Minnesota counties in property taxes, according to the Minnesota Tax Court. Two of those counties, Red Lake and Clearwater, have been ardent supporters of Enbridge, and now refunds due to Enbridge exceed their annual tax levies. For larger counties, refunds, in the best-case scenario, could still lead to tax increases, service cuts, or depleted reserves. Matt Hilgart of the Minnesota Counties Association called it a tsunami of the worst possible decision, Minnesota Tax Court. Enbridge had successfully argued that their pipelines had an accelerated depreciation. I just don't know where we'll get the money to do it, said Bob Schmitz, Red Lake County Auditor. You can only get so much milk out of a cow. It's anticipated that these counties will be asking the Minnesota legislature to give them money to pay back Enbridge. And that would be money from other Minnesota taxpayers. Enbridge has suggested that the new line will provide $35 million in property taxes annually to the counties. But it's not clear if this is true, particularly if the company is allowed to accelerate the depreciation for the pipeline, as it is done in the Minnesota Tax Court case. Blowing off of governments. In Michigan, Enbridge Line 3 pipeline is under the Straits of Mackinac, and it's 60 years old. It is no longer anchored, or should have been, nor should it have been placed in that manner. The Line 5 pipe was put in before the Clean Water Act or the Clean Air Act. And in November of last year, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer ordered the pipeline to cease operation by May 12, 2021, invoking what's called the Public Trust Doctrine. her responsibility as the governor of the state to the people and the state. On January 13th, 2021, Enbridge rejected Michigan's order saying, quote, the state lacks the authority to terminate or revoke the easement, a move that it says would wrongfully displace the role of the federal pipeline administrator. Wisconsin also has Enbridge pipes. After all, Enbridge imports 75% of the tar sands into the United States, and a history of spills in that state. Enbridge did not report a spill for 15 months in 2019. In March of 2021, Wisconsin officials found that Enbridge had underreported a spill, reporting about a gallon of petroleum while it was actually over 1,200 gallons that leaked from the Enbridge pipe. Jefferson County residents are questioning why Enbridge Energy took 21 days to repair a leaking underground pipe that spilled more than 1,200 gallons of petroleum near Fort Atkinson, contaminating soil and groundwater. It did not report the spill to regulators for more than 15 months. Tribal governments continue to oppose this pipeline, and across the Northland, from Red Lake to Bad River and the Little Traverse Band of Odawa, the company continues to try and impact tribal governance and regulation, as well as state regulations, and has filed a lawsuit against the Bad River Tribe, which has asked Enbridge to remove 13 miles of pipe, some of which is now exposed. And the corporation has had no legal easement for a number of years. Bad pipes and a bad plan. So here we are. It's 2021. And Enbridge, that Canadian multinational, is putting a $9 billion pipeline project in with pipes that have been sitting around for 5 years in northern Minnesota. Those pipes have been deteriorating. And as is in the case of the initial portion of the Keystone Pipeline, that leaked within 2 years of installation. It's not just the pipe, it's the weld. Oil and water don't mix. The risk of this project causing a spill is great, and the company has repeatedly neglected safety and spills. On April 1st, Enbridge sent home thousands of out-of-state workers. I'd like to say that they should stay home. This corporation has done some scary things to the North, and is making our North a scarier place. If they return in late May, it is likely that a number of civil rights and environmental regulations will be violated to put in this pipeline project. A lot of people are about to be arrested so that a Canadian pipeline corporation can make a profit at the end of the fossil fuel era and blow some more carbon into the environment. Who thinks this is a good idea? I don't. I think we should rethink what we want in Minnesota and make a future with solar, wind, hemp, and local foods. Miigwech, this is Winona LaDuke, and I'm hoping, like a lot of others, that I'm not going to get shot for a Canadian pipeline corporation. Miigwech.
Hey, that was Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth. Thank you for that update, Winona, and really a great story about kind of the history, Wendy.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, oil and water doesn't mix, and pipelines break 100% of the time. It's not if, it's when.
That's right. Hey, up next, Robert Blake with
the Solar Bear. Yeah, the Solar Bear News.
Solar Bear with the Solar News. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jayselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers, offer the 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And they pay you top dollar for your trade-in, even if you didn't buy your vehicle from them, or if you're not going to buy your next vehicle from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
This is Santita Jackson. Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, we'll bring you the best progressive talkers, thinkers, and doers on AM 950, Minnesota's progressive voice.
The University of Minnesota Duluth Department of American Indian Studies is accepting applications for their Master of Tribal Administration and Governance. This degree is designed to develop the knowledge needed to work as an administrator in tribal government. Plus, you'll learn about the principles of sovereignty, ethics, law, budgets, and leadership. And you can take all the courses online. To apply for the Fall 2021 Master of Tribal Administration and Governance at Minnesota Duluth, visit umdmtag.org. That's umdmtag.org.
AM 950 is postponing this year's virtual Blue State Ball and Tom Hartman brunch. Everyone at the station felt now is not the time for the ball or a party in the midst of the Derek Chauvin trial and police killing of Dante Wright. We will revisit holding the Blue State Ball later in 2021. Anyone that purchased tickets will receive a full refund. We are also working on a future event that focuses on community healing. Please contact us with any questions by emailing comment at am950radio.com or calling 952-946-8885.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low around 35, Thursday partly cloudy with a high near 47, Friday sunny with a high near 54, and Saturday sunny with a high around 55. Hazel's Northeast is back for dine-in, takeout, curbside pickup, or free delivery. So get some breakfast favorites like the Hippie Cakes, Meat Waffle, or Jeans, Mean Fried Egg Sandwich. Hazel's Northeast is located off 29th and Johnson. Place your order or make a reservation at hazelsnetogo.com.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, it's Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We just had Winona LaDuc on, and today we're going to see Bob Blake, Solar Bear with the Solar Bear News.
That's right.
Welcome. Blake. Got a little echo going on here.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
It's going great.
I, with everything, Robert, that's been going on, you know, I just wanted to say that there is some really exciting news happening around renewable energy. So I hope these stories cheer people up and give people some like hope and inspiration, you know, especially for all the trying times that we're having right now. You know what I mean?
Perfect.
So the first story, everyone, is the United States is projected to reach 419 gigawatts of solar by 2030. We will need according to Joe Biden's clean energy goal, we're going to need 700 gigawatts. Now, to put this in perspective, Robert, we are only at 1 gigawatt here in the state of Minnesota. So we have a lot to go, but that is so exciting because that means that there is so much planning around renewable energy and solar for the future. So that's really exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's totally exciting. It's an amazing thing. And I'm muting you every time I talk because we're getting a little echo, but I think you don't have your headphones on. But that is totally exciting, Wendy.
Yeah, totally. We need that.
We need that.
Really good information. Thank you. And it's always good to hear really good, uplifting information today because all we've been hearing is bad news lately. So thank you so much.
I got, and the next story is Jack Daniels, right? Lynchburg, Tennessee, everyone, signs a green investment deal to entire their entire facility with renewable energy. So the next time you go and buy your Jack Daniels, don't feel too bad because it's getting powered by renewable energy, everyone.
I just got to give a shout out to my nanny out there who lives right over there.
We actually went there when we were in Tennessee to the facility, and I think we bought like a t-shirt or something. I've never had Jack Daniels in my life, so I don't even know. It's whiskey, right?
Yeah, it's sipping whiskey. And I used to slam it, and that's why I've got 36 years of sobriety.
Well, there you go.
I love my old number 7.
Next story, everyone. Bank of America has pledged to invest $1 trillion in environmental social good causes by 2030. So they're going to invest $1 trillion into environmental projects, Robert. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, that is totally incredible. Hey, I'm wondering if you have the capacity to just quickly turn off your echo cancellation on your settings, because we're getting a big echo here. And while you're doing that,
we'll talk about Tennessee and Jack Daniels.
I have a hoodie from there.
Yeah, and we went there, and we have a picture of us, Robert. We'll have to find it and put it up on our Facebook. And we have cowboy hats on.
Oh, wow.
From the facility. Yeah.
I think I would look good with cowboy hats.
Okay, let's try it.
Let's try again, Robert.
Here we go.
Let's say something. Yeah, I don't hear us.
Okay, hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yep.
Better.
Yep.
Yep.
Go ahead. I'm sorry about that, guys. I didn't know how to do that. Thank you.
It was from our trusty engineers back at the mother station.
You know, you never taught the best boy that when we were down in Iowa, how to do that. Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
Okay, another story. Okay, remember, Robert, all the wildfires that happened out in California?
Yeah, and they're still happening. Yep, definitely.
Yeah. So Pacific Gas and Electric is looking to securitize $7.5 billion to cover all the wildfire costs. So what they're going to do is they're going to take out a loan, essentially, and then they're going to charge the ratepayers of California to pay for this. So, you know, this is, I mean, I don't know how ethical this is, but I could see a lot of utility companies following the same kind of plan, especially with all of the climate problems we're going to have around with infrastructure in the future. So this is something that I think is really going to have to be dealt with.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ogama.
Hey, this is Ogama. I just want to interject here. Wasn't PG&E partially responsible for those fires? Something like a transformer exploded? Had it started part of the fires? Am I correct on that? Does anyone know?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep, that's absolutely what I thought. That's
and they're going to take a loan out, and then the people who lived in California who experienced and were devastated by the fires are going to have to pay the money back?
Yes.
Wow. That does not sound...
That's not good news, Bob.
That does not sound
I thought you were on a roll there with good news.
But okay, I wanted to tell everybody this because I think it's really important that, you know, we keep track of like our own Public Utilities Commission, our own PUC here in Minnesota, and what they're deciding and what they're doing, because they have oversight over these utilities, right? And so they decide if Line 3 gets built or not. They decide if, you know, utilities can do these kinds of things. So, you know, it's one of the most powerful organizations that we don't really talk about is the PUC, and they have a lot of oversight. And so I think all the listeners out there need to know, and, you know, and understand that this affects their lives and, you know, be a part of, you know, the change, you know, that needs to happen, especially in those organizations.
Yeah, we've been paying attention to PUC, and that's why we have Line 3 going on and, you know, all those hearings for naught, you know, it seems like. But, yeah, it's good to bring that up, Robert, about how powerful the PUC is. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then my last story here, everyone, is in Biden's proposed budget of $1.5 trillion, he has in there a 27% increase in overall clean energy spending.
Wow.
So that means that there is a 27% markup of clean energy spending that is going to be distributed across the country. And I think that's great news. I mean, we probably should do more, but, you good know, start. That's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'd rather us build solar farms and, like, you know, clean energy projects than more B-25 bombers and army bases overseas. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, I always say if you want to feed the our country, at least just to make one less B-1 bomber, it's $1 billion. And I think you could feed everybody in this country.
Absolutely, Robert. And I think that if we take some of that, you know, money and invest it back into clean energy jobs and you know, the economy, you know, we're just going to get a ripple effect and you know, I think that'll be a much better way for us to be spending, our taxpayers' money.
Hey, this is the Solar Bear, news with the Solar Bear here, Robert, Blake. And I'm wondering too, if you could give us an update. I know you're working on with a bunch of people, including your business, Solar Bear, what's happening up in Red Lake and where are we at with that right now? And just give our people, especially in Chicago and Madison, kind of an update what you're doing here in the last 2 minutes up there.
Yeah. Well, we were scheduled to start this week, right? I had everybody scheduled to start this week. We had a big April snowstorm. So yeah. Like the Prince song, sometimes it snows in April. it was really good weather. I thought we were going to have good weather, but it's Minnesota. And so we're going to push it back to the first week in May now to go up there and start installing solar again. But yes, it's a really incredible project. It's a 17 megawatt project, and we're going to build it. And it's just been really exciting to work with the tribe, and I look forward to working with more Native tribes, and I'm going to be on a panel for the Midwest Tribal Energy Resource Association at the end of the month here, and wow. I'll also be on another panel out in Massachusetts for tribes out there with their renewable energy coming up next week also.
Well, that's awesome. And I just want to remind everyone, it's like a $4 million operation going on up there with a big solar barn or solar yard up there for Red Lake. And they're going to be pumping out some power and selling back some power, hopefully. Right, Robert?
Yeah. That's the idea. I mean, I hope we can break ground next year on that farm. But yeah, I mean, that's the plan right now. And we're just going to keep on building the projects, one building at a time.
Yeah, that's the way to go. So all you nations out there that are listening to us, be great to have solar panels on top of your community buildings, your casinos, and everything in between, right, Robert?
Yeah, and I was just on the phone with some people out of Washington, D.C. today, talking with some USDA people about, you know, different procedures and how they can go ahead and better support tribal nations and their energy, you know, quest for energy independence. So it's really exciting. A lot of good things happening across tribal country here.
Well, and I want to say a big Pini Gigi, thank you for stopping in. It's very important for us to keep talking about the next, you know, the next generation of energy. And you always have your thumb on the heartbeat of what's happening all over Turtle Island. So Pini Gigi, Robert Blake, you are the founder of Solar Bear and Native Sun. And thank you so much for stopping in. All right, hey, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Wow, I love that. That's the best part of the show for me. Hey, this show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people and for our beings, our animals, and our relatives. We are the resistance. We are awake. All things are our relatives. What we do to everything we do to ourselves, all is one. Black Elk said that. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many, many years. And tell us your name and what you're going to talk about today.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues and policies at the local and state level. And I'm very happy to do that work. And now that I'm retired, I get to work on that even more often than I used to. So it's really something I like to do.
Yeah, your schedule sounds really booked here
in the next
couple days.
I'm really booked. It's crazy. But yeah, it's fun. I'm enjoying it. It's really gets me going up in the getting up in the morning, not very early, but you know, at a reasonable time. You know, I just want to say this really funny story really quickly that somebody posted on Facebook today that Their dogs rule their house because they have to get up with their dogs every day, and their dogs wake them up and, you know, get them up early every day. And I'm saying to myself, so our dogs are funny because they'll sleep in with me. Even if Robert gets up early, the dogs stay in bed with me, and they don't get up or they don't even make a peep until I get up out of bed. So how lucky am I to have these dogs, right?
Well, they used to get up with me to eat, but since COVID in this last year, I mean, their schedule is so different right now.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and I just love our animals, and we just have to say that, or I just have to say before you get going, Wendy, is that it's a beautiful thing what's happening to our Gracie, who is a it was a puppy mill dog for 7 years, and really the last few years is just becoming a puppy, even though she's like 9 years old now. And it warms my heart every time to see her, but it also thinks about how sad it was. She was in a cage, a little teeny weeny cage for all those years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had her for 3 years, and she's really come out of her shell. And I'm so glad that you brought the subject up of puppy mills, because I have an update. So last
Wow, I'm psychic.
You are psychic.
Let's go to the casino.
We didn't even talk about this. And you know what? Robert and I do not even discuss what I'm talking about anytime ever.
He never even
asks me, what are you going to talk about today?
Well, I used to when we were only on once a week.
Well, whatever. Yeah, exactly. So last month, I was talking about Illinois. And I know some people say Illinois, right?
That's incorrectly because there's only one.
I know.
There's only one.
S is silent, so it's Illinois. Illinois Republican Representative Andrew Chesney, he's of the 89th District, is responsible for a bill in the House. It's called House Bill 1711 to ban the sales of dogs and cats at pet retail stores. Representative Chesney offers his personal puppy story regarding what made him aware of this issue in the first place. The puppy store business regarding how they treat animals shocked him, he said. Republicans, Democrats, and independents should be together on this issue, he said. Quote, their current business model is dependent on taking advantage of customers and hurting animals, and this needs to change. And this was his whole thing, and he brought up this bill, House Bill 1711, that said we're not going to be selling any more dogs and cats that come from these puppy mills, and they're sold at pet stores.
Amen.
Here, this is also what he said. If you ask pet store stores selling dogs where that dog came from, try to get a straight answer. When the Chicago Tribune investigative report managed to learn where Chicago pet stores were getting dogs, tracking wasn't easy because there are secret brokers. But ultimate sources proved to be out of state of Illinois puppy mills. So that's where the dogs were coming from, supporting pet store sales of dogs and cats, supporting puppy mills. Exactly. So he realized this, and I don't know. He says he has a personal story about this, and I'd really like to hear it more in depth, but it doesn't make a difference. He knew the problem. He saw that there was a problem, and he wanted to do something about it. So he proposed this bill.
Mm-hmm.
Today, update.
Yeah.
The bill passed.
That's awesome.
The bill passed. Again, I want to thank Republican Representative Andrew Chesney for bringing forth this bill and protecting these animals. And it's not only dogs. Cats and rabbits come from mills. Yeah.
I just got to say something to our audience. And one of the things is that I did not know this 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to pet stores and I went to all this. And then all these things came out. We got two chihuahuas over 20 years ago, and we had no idea that it was from one of the craziest, most, the worst puppy.
Notorious,
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Notoriously bad puppy mill in Wisconsin that sold to places in Minnesota. And we just did not know. And so I think, you know, talking to our audience a little bit, I think that's really great that you bring this up. And I just want to give a little backstory because it's like, you know, dogs are dogs and they're out there in the animals, but just don't support them. Adopt, right, Wendy?
Adopt, don't shop. Yes, absolutely. I agree 100%. And, you know, we didn't know, like Robert said, it was 21 years ago. We walked into a pet store. We needed cat food. That's why we went in there and we saw these little chihuahuas. And we were newly married and we saw the
We weren't married yet, I don't think.
Yes, we were married.
Oh.
Honest, we were.
Okay.
But besides the point, we walked in and we saw these two little chihuahuas and we just kind of fell in love with them. But of course, this pet store is like, oh, let's take them out of the cage and I'll bring them into the get to know you room.
One of the important things about that story is we're still married. So I wanted to just bring that up too.
That is
especially during COVID.
It's a very good point that you bring up.
I see you all the time.
But we didn't know. Right. We were we had no idea. And I remember going to work the next day and I was like, oh, we got these puppies and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And somebody said, oh, where did you get them? And I said, Petland. We got them at Petland. And she was just like, are you crazy? They get all their puppies from puppy mills. You are supporting these mills. And I was like, what? Wait, what's a puppy mill? What? Right. What are you talking about? And then I learned all about it and I couldn't believe it because I would have never, ever have supported such an industry.
And that's part of our journey or your journey too.
It really
I remember
is.
People, mm-hmm. people came up to us and wanted us to stud out Mickey.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, that's really cool. But, you know, not knowing, and mm-hmm. you bring this up a lot, which is really, really, really good for our listeners to hear, is that there's, I don't know, 7 puppies for every person in this United States if they were all adopted out.
Okay. So if every person in the United States has to have 4 dogs each to combat the dog
population.
Who don't have homes in the United States.
The orphan dogs.
Yeah, it's even higher for cats. So each person in the United States has to have 7 cats each.
Yeah. So just keep pumping out this information because I think it's so important, Wendy, what you do. And I think, you know, people don't feel bad that you don't know. We didn't know. And we're just trying to give out some really decent information, legit information on our relatives.
Mm-hmm. But it's important to be teachable. So, you know, I'm teachable. I could change and I'm teachable, hopefully.
Right. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts, Peeny Geegee Wendy. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. Peeny Geegee on speaking on behalf of our relatives with wings, tails, fins, and so on. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we need to mask up, resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio. Thank you, Winona LaDuke, Bob Blake, Wendy Pilot, Ogama, for the news. We are the 7th generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3.